Yo, this is Wolf Hoffman from Accept, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
This is Derek Whelan, keyboard player with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hey, everybody, this is Joel Hoekstra of Whitesnake and Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Welcome to episode 539 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. It is September here in Pittsburgh, and with that, almost annually, that brings about the return of the announcement of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra Winter Tour, and this year, no exception. We're joined by Mr. Joel Hoekstra in just a moment to talk about this year's The Lost Christmas Eve Tour, which was just announced, and tickets go on sale September 13th. They will be making two stops in Pittsburgh. On the 21st, they're doing a 2:30 and a 7:30 show, so two chances to check out the TSO. Joel and I also talk about the touring he does with his buddy Brandon Gibbs, and also a little bit about his time in Accept, that great, awesome German metal band. So really a pleasure to get to talk to Joel, an amazing musician. So we're going to play a little TSO to get you in the mood, and we'll get right into that interview. We'll be right back. gentlemen, my pleasure to welcome to Iron City Rocks. We have on the line for an annual visit, we have Joel Hoekstra on the line. How you doing, Joel?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. A pleasure to get the chance to talk to you here again. And you guys are going to be rolling the tanks out and headed into Pittsburgh to do two shows. So it's going to be fantastic to have you guys. As you look forward to doing this again for another year, and you know, the press release comes out with new production, what does that signify for you? You know, when you start seeing these things like, you know, they're going to change the show, do you at this point have a you know, kind of a set list, you know, presented to you of what to learn, or do you get kind of a short list of songs to go through?
We get a song list, and so obviously the story this year is going to be a reworked version of The Lost Christmas Eve, which we haven't done in a while. It's been about 10 years or so, but it's the 20th anniversary of the album itself. And so, you know, you mentioned the production. It's like all over, like new state-of-the-art pyro and lasers, so... You know, super psyched about that. But, you know, honestly, as a guitar player, man, we look at it like from the song list, you get the songs that you absolutely know are going to be there, and then you get some, like a list of what might be in the back half of the show in particular. The story, we can kind of go, all right, we're going to need to know these songs. But then the back half is a little bit more of a, we're not quite sure yet, and they need to take a look at everything and kind of decide on that. So we usually end up learning a little bit more than you'll actually see on tour. Mm-hmm. Maybe six or seven songs that don't even end up out there. So as a guitarist, you start prepping and try to hit the ground running from day one of rehearsals. We sort of have a little friendly competition amongst ourselves as who comes in the most prepared. I think the whole idea being, you know, you get caught up in the production rehearsals, and it's such a big machine there that, you know, you kind of want to know the nuts and bolts of the music going right into rehearsals, because there's so much other stuff that needs to be rehearsed, the flow of the show and things like that people don't think about, production rehearsals in short. So, from my perspective, my job is to just be as prepared as possible and get out there and, basically just try to give my all for everybody. I mean, people put down their hard-earned money to come see us, and we want Trans-Siberian Orchestra to be like the best from like day one. Mm-hmm. We don't want it to be like, oh, we're rounded into form here, you know. People only get to see us once, so you don't want the people on opening day to be like, boy, they were a little rough around the edges, you know. Yeah. We want to have the first show be like, wow, okay, cool.
With a show like this compared to, let's say, your work in Whitesnake or Cher, even might even be a better example, the production aspect of this in the rehearsals, like obviously you need to learn the songs no matter what you're doing, but does this require more of you as a performer, kind of knowing where to be and where not to be, and kind of the, you know, the theatrical part of the show? Is that akin to maybe something like a Cher show, or is your job with her was more to just kind of stay out of the way and let her be her?
I mean, every gig is different. So Cher, the band, was on a bandstand in the background, more or less kind of half lit. And then there was a couple moments where I'd step out with her, which was always like, oh my gosh, the adrenaline surges and you get out there and you never know what she's going to do. She right. did something different every show. So you always kind of had to have eyes all over your, growing out of the side of your head to go, is she headed my way? Is she, yeah. So the idea being with her is you'd create some symmetry on the stage. If she was going to go stage left, I'd go stage right. But sometimes as you cross, she'd want to interact. And so you kind of had to try to play the music accurately while you were going like, I don't know what she's gonna do. Yeah. So I always joke that you didn't want to ever be the guitarist that got known for knocking over Cher on stage, bumping into her or something. Yeah. Like that was always the nightmare scenario of that. I mean, Whitesnake, you know, I guess in a way it's just obviously a different animal in terms of that the people that you're playing for, pretty much playing for classic rock fans across the right. board, whereas Trans-Siberian Orchestra is a little bit more of a family experience. There's something there for everybody, all ages. So that in itself is different. Like the people that you play for, I would say overall this is the most challenging because you have 8 shows a week. So it's not necessarily that the Whitesnake material isn't just as difficult to play or even more in certain aspects, but just doing the 8 shows a week and making sure that you're on the entire time. Like you never want to have some moment where you feel like you're not present and giving the very best for the fans. Because, I mean, realistically, a lot of people only see one show. And that's the money that, you know, they put down for that, those tickets, and they deserve your best. So just being on for that and having that, you know, massive surge of, on our side, probably about 55 shows in like 48 days, something like that. So, the Marines of Rock, I call it every year, right? It's like you feel like you're very much part of like a well-oiled machine. And, you know, it's honestly, it's a labor of love, and I'm used to that workload. I've been doing this since 2010.
Yeah.
So if anything, it just makes getting out on a different tour feel almost like a vacation. You know? You mean that's all we have to do?
You have a night off? Yeah. Yeah, that's I mean, you're probably lucky in the regard that you're not a singer on this tour. I mean, granted, you have multiple vocalists, but still, I mean, that's even the narrator. I mean, that's a lot to put on a voice to do that many shows in a day. I mean, you just need to worry about calluses and you know, remembering your mark and not being where the pots are and things. From a standpoint of show day, okay, you've got a 2:30 show, 7:30 show in Pittsburgh here on the 21st of December. So can you kind of walk us through how that differs from, you know, your one-off show? I mean, do you do a sound check on this tour? Is there time for that even? Or is this kind of a situation where you have some people to do that for you?
Oh no! We definitely do it ourselves. Now, sometimes realistically on a 2-show day where they've broken down the entire stage set, which is massive for those that haven't seen TSO, and driven it to the next city, and they're trying to get it set up for the matinee, there are certain days where the production isn't quite ready for a sound check. So we won't have a sound check for the matinee, but everything is as is. I mean, we have a monitor console that's just already programmed and already set, so our settings are all there. Realistically, the crew always gets in a line check, which for those that don't know, that's just to make sure every instrument is working. So very little changes realistically, but it's always nice to get a sound check in if you can. So it's essentially you like wake up on the bus, maybe get in a little workout in the hotel shower, get in, do a sound check, get up, do the first show, take a quick dinner break, get out there, do the second show. And in years past, we've done the meet and greets and signing line, et cetera. And I'm not sure if those are happening this year or not. I think that's sort of like a work in progress to see like what the situation is going to be like in terms of COVID, et cetera, like that.
Exactly.
You know, and just, I mean, that's really kind of what has shut that down the last, I don't know, handful of years here. So, but that's something we enjoy doing too. I mean, that helps with the whole like grassroots feeling of this, despite the fact it's this massive arena show, to feel like you're hands on with the fan base, getting to know them all, be friendly with them all, because we do have so many, just an amazing dedicated fan base that come year after year. And even some of them come to multiple cities, and, you know, I often joke that we're like the Grateful Dead of Christmas, that they just come out to all these shows on a regular basis. And so a lot of them become your friends, and it just sort of feels like this huge Christmas tradition for us that lasts all the way from first rehearsal all the way through December 31st.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking, but I wonder if there's like tape trading and stuff going on with these shows, but which kind of brings me to something. I know at one point interviewing Paul, even there was, I had asked about the idea of ever doing a live album. Has that ever come across the table to your knowledge?
You know, I feel like that's an idea that they've toyed with, but it just hasn't quite come out and happened. Yeah, certainly up for it. I mean, we really work hard to, sound really nice and tight for everybody. It's a great band of musicians, so we do our best to to play the music really, really well for everybody. I think it would be a cool idea. It's obviously a decision for management, et cetera, whether or not that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's an upper management decision for sure.
That's not going to come from me going, dudes, let's do a live album, man. And everybody, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Cool, you got it, Joel.
Yeah, I actually thought the year that you guys had to unfortunately do the webcast, that maybe that one would see the light of day. You know, you kind of go through that amount of work for a performance like that it might be something to see. But I guess time will tell on that one. As far as the rest of the year, obviously you're kind of saddled with doing press for the ticket on sale, which is later this week, and we'll bring the listeners that information. But you've been doing a lot of shows with your friend Brandon Gibb. Can you kind of talk about, you know, how that differs? You know, is that, you know, just kind of a total stress-free kind of thing, or is that more stressful being it's your name on the marquee?
I mean, the scope of the difference between the two gigs, it could not get any more stark in terms of contrast. And Brandon and I basically took this on as something fun to do for me between tours with Whitesnake and Cher and TSO, where you go and play locally, acoustic duo, play some stuff from Whitesnake, and Brandon, of course, has an affiliation with Poison, so we play some Poison, our own music, and play some covers we like, maybe shred a little bit, tell some fun stories. But the beauty of it is the people that turn out are the people that really know who you are and are following actively in terms of, like, everything you're doing. So, you know, they tend to be smaller. We have an opportunity to meet everybody, take a picture with them, talk with them for a while, whereas, you know, TSO or Whitesnake, the bigger shows, they don't always have that opportunity to say hello. So the Brandon shows are definitely intimate and fun and chill and very limited production. I mean, it's two guys with acoustic guitars that plug in. And so I think there's something cool about that. I guess street cred, if you will, as a musician, not to just be playing the big shows, but be willing to go in and play the clubs or whatever and get in and do an acoustic duo gig. So we have a good time doing those, and I've still been out gigging with Broadway's Rock of Ages band this year, and I filled in with the heavy metal band Accept this year. We did I did South America and the European festivals with them. So working on my own record as well right now, and producing a separate album and doing sessions and teaching and counseling for Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. So I just always have a lot on my plate as a musician, which has really two positives. I mean, it helps you make a living, obviously. That's a no-brainer. But, like, the other thing is that staying active as a musician and playing different music really helps you improve. And kind of in a real-world way, not like a content creator way where you're just sitting home trying to get one amazing little clip to upload to YouTube and, you know, try and get a lot of views on your reel, et cetera. Nothing against that. I dabble in that type of thing. But I really like to, I guess I'm old school in that I want to be good in the real world, like playing different types of music and playing. I mean, you look at the diversity of anywhere from playing with Cher all the way to Accept, which is probably the most metal thing I've done. That's something that just helps you as a player.
Yeah. And that's a great way to look at that. You know, you know, I think a lot of people get very good at a certain style. But, you know, you look at it, some of the greats, you know, Edward and Steve Lukather and some of those guys that really ran the gamut of what they did. So that speaks a lot to do that.
It's especially Luke with that. I mean, he's probably the most recorded guitarist of my lifetime. I mean, he's luckily I've gotten to be you know, pretty decent friends with Luke, and he's always been amazing to me, and just obviously has my utmost respect in that regard. And then Eddie Van Halen is somebody who I look at, like, yes, he was capable of doing different things, but his main thing is that he was such an innovator and created his his definitive style and really was himself and so recognizable. So everybody's got their strengths and weaknesses with this thing. I guess that I look at myself as somebody who's just set out to be a professional guitarist, and so I look for anything I can do with that and just try to do the best I can with it. And I do think, that lately I've found my niche a bit more, like the comfort zone where people recognize what I do, especially from hearing my own albums, where people really begin to understand what it is I went left to my own devices, what I play like.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, I was just listening to one of the 13 albums earlier today, and it is kind of cool to listen to you be you, you know, and not that your style doesn't come through in Whitesnake and things like that, but it's always kind of refreshing to hear a player when there are no boundaries on what they do, you know, and get a sense of who they are and what they're about. So I highly recommend. Any thoughts of follow up to those albums, or is it? I know you had a fantastic record in 2023.
Oh yeah, I'm working on another one, so that's definitely in the works, and very excited about that. I probably mentioned that pre-sale tickets go out September 12th, so you can go to Trans-Siberian and head on over. Their passwords will be available on the website that day. So if you want those seats really close up, try and get over there. And then, of course, sales open to the general public happen September 13th. So everybody get their tickets, and looking forward to seeing everybody. Pittsburgh is an amazing rock town, and we always really, really love playing PPG. So I'm looking forward to getting there and getting out and bringing the very best possible show to you guys this year.
Awesome. Joel, thank you so much. We will see you December 21st, man.
Hey, thank you so much for your time, man. Thanks for helping us get the word out and for being such a solid bro over here. Appreciate it.
Again, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra will be at PPG Paints Arena December 21st for two shows, a 2:30 and a 7:30 show to do the Lost Christmas Eve. Tickets for the first week, which they go on sale on the 13th of September. So for the first week, there are tickets available starting at just $49.99. So you can pick those up, take the family, take your wife, take your boyfriend, take your mother-in-law, take somebody to see TSO that hasn't seen them before. An amazing show. As you're listening to this show, you're obviously a fan of hard rock and metal, and we love our big production shows. This is everything you want in a hard rock show, but a little tiny bit more family-oriented, and a great show and a great tradition to get in the holiday spirit of December 21st, a prime time to see them. A couple of things going on. One, it's before Christmas. Two, there's no Steeler game. What more do you need? So get out to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We'll have a link on the show notes. You can check us out at ironcityrocks.com. Click on the episode. We'll have all the details. Also invite you to check us out on all the social medias, which are all at Iron City Rocks. And if you want to drop us an email, it's ironcityrocks@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show, things you'd like to hear, things you'd not like to hear about. Love to hear your feedback. And until next time, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen.